Welcome back, you guys. This is Andrea with From Mrs. to Ms. And I have a special guest in the house today. Her name is Marilee Grace. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I'm so glad you're here. I wanted to have you on our podcast this week because you have written an amazing book called Right Swipe, A Quest for Love. And it is talking mainly about all the dating sites and what to look for and what you discovered on your 15-month journey throughout this book. And so I'm really excited to kind of tap into that. But just to introduce you to the audience, Marilee Grace is an author. She's a public speaker, a life transformation coach, and a self-love specialist. She recently wrote her first book called Right Swipe, A Quest for Love. And she is also the owner and lead coach at Right Swipe Girl. That's amazing. So tell us a little bit about it. How'd you get started with all of
this? I guess I got started with it because I got divorced. It kind of all fits together.
Absolutely.
So I left a 29-year marriage on September 5th, 2020, right in the midst of COVID. That was crazy hard. And then my divorce was final on May 27th, 2021.
Okay.
Now, I was doing a lot of work on myself during that time. And your listeners have gone through a divorce. They know things are crazy. Emotions are crazy and weird. And I was working with a therapist at that time. Mm-hmm. And she helped me just to kind of not be in freak out mode the whole time until the divorce. And then once my divorce was final, I knew that I wanted to hire a coach, and I'd been researching coaches. So I was working with a coach who helps people who have been with high maintenance personalities and some toxicity that goes along with that.
Okay.
And I was in one of her groups, and all the women kept talking about the dating apps, the dating apps, the dating apps, the dating apps. Here I am, newly divorced. I don't want a relationship. I don't want a man. But I want to fit into the group, and I want to be able to have conversation because, you know, when you live by yourself, talking to your dog gets a little bit weird.
A little bit.
So I decided, what's going to hurt?
Right.
And I remember my coach saying, I don't know, you know, you should take a few years. You should get okay. You know, make sure you're 100%. And in my mind, I did girl math.
Okay.
And, you know, the way we logic out and make things okay. Uh-huh. And in my mind, I had emotionally left back in 2019. So 2 years.
Fair enough.
It made sense to me.
Yeah.
I get on the dating apps. I don't know how to write a profile. I don't know how to take selfies. So I'm looking through at some of my horrible selfies and I'm thinking, I can't put these on. I've got to try to figure this out. Getting super stressed. Finally get the profile up. Don't want to give too much information, but when I get enough, and do I really want anybody to swipe on me? I don't know. And we get so addicted to our phones and likes and whatnot on Facebook and Instagram. And 100%. Here I am opening myself up to this. And I'm thinking, okay, this is so I can have conversation with the ladies in my group.
Yeah.
And that's how it all started.
Wow. That's amazing. That's a great story. That's really a great story. And so from this, you kind of felt compelled to write this book, which I'm holding it up for people to see that are watching us on video. And it's called Right Swipe, A Quest for Love. So, okay, I want to start just by saying, so I've been reading through this book and I'm pretty close to the end. I haven't got quite through it all, but I'm getting through it and I love it because I've been on the dating sites for years now, on and off, you know, and so much of this stuff resonated with me because I'm like, you're right. That's why this, or that's why that, you know, and it's, there's so many things because you talk in here about, you know, which I've talked about many times on the podcast, how sex is on the forefront of everybody's mind, all these guys, right? And we come into these dates and it's like, the very first thing that they start talking about, sexual stuff, it's such a turnoff for me. Immediately my guard goes up. It's just gross. So we're looking for foundation and depth and a conversation that doesn't include usually a penis, right? So, for now. So, so one of the stories that started out in the book was with Mike, I believe.
Oh gosh.
And so funny because I was telling my friend about this yesterday and I go, so one of her stories is like, she's talking to this guy for like 2 to 3 weeks, very bland, boring kind of conversation. And, you know, but you're just kind of going along with it, going with the flow. And then you guys kind of escalate it to meeting for coffee, Right. And you said one thing that was great. I love you said it was like a, you were doing coffee, but it's like an interview for a first date.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. It's an interview. Do I want to allow you access to my time?
Yes.
Because my time is valuable.
You know, I also heard people just say that sometimes when guys don't want to invest too much or to take you to dinner, but really it's not even about that. It's exactly what you said. It's about, do I want to give you additional time? Do I want to give you access to me beyond this coffee? Are you worthy of that? But in this particular case with Mike, tell us what happened after that. So you guys agreed to meet for coffee. And then what did he say after that?
So Mike, I was dumbfounded because, you know, I'd been in a 29 year marriage and this was totally foreign to me. So he asked me, what are you doing for the rest of the day? And, you know, are you open for, you know, afternoon or evening? And I said, well, I have the whole day. It was a Saturday. And he said, well, how about we meet at the park, go for coffee, and then we can go back to your place or mine.
So I love this because I'm like, I don't even know, honestly, how those two went together. Like, right?
How did those dots connect? They were not on my picture.
Yeah. Like we're going to meet for coffee. And then do you want to go back to your place or mine? Yeah. That is so out there. And I would have thought probably just as you did when he asked about what's your plan for the day. Let's do coffee. If we hit it off, maybe let's go and go bowling or let's go, you know, for a walk in the park or whatever we want to do, a hike or something, but definitely not. Or
come back to my place or yours.
And you didn't even buy me dinner.
Yeah. Very forward. And so my friend Mel, she was my office mate.
Okay.
And she was the one that she was my go-to gal because she's in her 20s.
Okay.
And so she was in the dating apps and she understood the lingo because I didn't know the lingo.
Right.
And I'm like, Mel, this is what he said. What do I do? And she says, just calm down. Just ask for clarification. Ask questions. And so I'm sitting here flipping back and forth between text messages. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh God, please don't let me text the wrong message to him or to, you know, I don't care if I message her what I meant to message him, but
yeah.
I don't want him to know that I'm talking to my friend.
Right. To get saying, the side help.
Yeah. Oh my God. He's asking me to come back to his house. And here's the stupid thing. I didn't know what to say. So I said, oh, I just got back from vacation. So I've got like vacation throw up all over my house. So it can't be my house. How about yours? Never in my wildest dreams was I going to go to his house, but I'm sitting here. But that gave me a little bit of time to text Mel and go, holy crap.
Right.
What do I do?
Right.
You know?
But also, I guess what that did though, is then he was like, oh, she's in, she's game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then when my friend said, ask questions. Mm-hmm. And so then I literally, awkward question, but I was like, little side note, need to have a little clarification for what your expectation is, because I'm expecting coffee. Then if we go to your house, Netflix, but no chill.
Which I think 75% of the guys these days are. But I loved that you asked him. I love that you asked him for the clarification. And maybe you didn't know to do that. And she kind of said, hey, you know, do that.
Yeah.
But that is not an easy thing to do either. Now it puts us in this weird, awkward spot. And the thing I hate about that is it makes us appear almost prudish. Like we're being prudes, right? Like, ooh, I'm not going to do that or this or that. And that's not what it's about. We can be very sexual at a later time when I know you. And like you said, beyond a good morning and good night, right?
Yes.
So tell us what happened next.
So he gets really defensive and he starts to tell me, you know, we're not in high school and we're not going to do this, wait forever. And I'm thinking, dude, high schoolers have sex like rabbits. Don't even use that scenario.
Yes.
You're getting defensive with me when all you've done is good morning, good night, and boring shit in between.
Yes. And he's like,
I'm sorry.
Man.
Yeah. And I told him, I don't think I'm the right match for you.
Love it.
Good luck in your endeavors. I hope you find somebody that matches for you.
Yeah. And he was out, right?
He was out.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit, I was just like, man, is this what the dating apps are? That's not what I signed up for. You know, I signed up for this very vanilla Pollyanna-ish.
Not polyamorous, Pollyanna.
Yeah, not polyamorous. And I found some of them too.
I'm sure.
Oh my.
It puts us right off the bat in like an uncomfortable position. I've gotten to where I go to go on a first date and I feel almost obligated to say, hey, I'm a slow mover, or I have to have it in my profile, not looking for hookups, not looking for a one night stand, because I feel like they think they take you to dinner and the expectation is the dessert is us, right?
And I did, I changed my profile and I don't remember what my first profile was. I wish I would have screenshot it because it was just very who I was, but I had to change that to profile, my profile, to say coffee means coffee.
Yeah.
Which coming is to sad. Your house to watch Netflix means watching Netflix, Netflix. No chill.
Right.
I am not going to hop in bed with you. I am not a one night stand. I am not a friends with benefit. And if that's what you're looking for, swipe left.
Swipe left.
Because I'm not the match for you. But you know what, Andrea, they continued, even though I put that in my bio, they continued to start conversations and, oh, gorgeous.
Yeah.
Whenever they start out with that, oh, gorgeous, they're beautiful, or, oh, you're the love of my life. No, dude, that's the first sentence. And that's,
you don't
not
even know me.
Me.
I think the same way. I think the same way.
And it's such a turnoff.
And I don't think they realize that. I don't think, you know, the ones that are doing it, they're not reading your profile. They're just, you know, they're just, oh, let me swipe and let me chat with her. And maybe I can get her to come over and hang out with me, Netflix and chill. And, you know, they're not really thinking about what that feels like on our side. And it is oogie to me. I just don't like it.
It's all sorts of ick.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
And, you know, you said they're not even reading our bios. I did ask a number of men, why did you swipe on me? Why did you right swipe me?
Yeah.
And they said, because of your pictures. And I got better about my pictures, but I didn't put a full body. I thought, you know what? I'm not a piece of meat. You don't need to, you know, you don't need to inspect me. Mm-hmm. And even though looking at my face, that's still an inspection of some sort. But one of the guys that I had a situationship with, he said, I didn't read your bio until you know, several weeks.
What?
Yeah. I said, really?
Wow.
Because he would think, when they ask me questions, I'm thinking, it's in my bio.
Yes. Yes.
Read it. I did it for a reason.
Right. Unless, of course, and this is something else you touched on in the book, is if they can't read the bio because they're a bot, right?
Yes.
Yes. So that happens a lot. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so the world of bots. Didn't know it was a thing until I was talking with, I believe it was Dean.
Okay.
I believe Dean was my connection, that he read my bio.
Okay.
And he said his first opening to me was, I'm so sorry that you had to rewrite your bio. And I was like, whoa, read my bio. That's the check. Positive. And he said, I've had to do the same thing. And we got to talking and I talked with him several times off and on. He never asked me out. He would like hint to it. And I would think, just ask me out.
Yeah.
Ask me out for coffee. I'll meet you halfway, because he was in Topeka and we could meet in downtown Kansas City.
Okay.
But I would explain to him some of these things. He was like, oh, that's a Russian bot, or that's a bot. Like a robot.
Yeah.
There's robots. What? And I'm just totally blown away by this. And he says, oh yeah, they're trying to get information. And he says, if you notice, you can always tell a bot because of the way they talk. They're either a bot or a scammer if they've got broken English, but a bot is going to be very systematic and their responses are going to be boom right away.
Oh.
You reply, boom. And he says, because it's all on a system so that those responses come right away. And the responses that you get, if you compare them to other men, you start realizing, oh, I said this, they said that, or they answer something that's totally not even relevant to the conversation. And you know, that's a box.
Oh yes, I have seen that. And I'm like, what? I didn't even ask that. I didn't put two and two together. This is great information right now, because this is what I wanted you to talk about the book, because I want the listeners to hear all of this stuff, because we need to be aware as women and kind of stick together. I mean, I, of course, there's men listening on here too. And so they'll use that for their side, which I do think it even happens more on their side. I've heard there's tons it of does. Bots and scammers on men's side. So maybe a little bit more so than for us, but yeah, give us more. So tell us about, okay. So tell us a little bit more about the bots. Were you done talking about that?
Okay. I would just play with them.
Yeah.
I got to a point after Mike, I still was, you know, right swiping, and I was talking with my coach, and she says, open yourself up a little bit and just collect data.
Yeah.
Learn to talk to men again.
Yeah.
She didn't say learn to talk to bots, scammers, and catfishes, but I had to learn how to do that too as well. So I just continued to have these conversations. And then when I'd have these conversations with these bots, and I'd show my friends, I'd say, look at this. Oh my gosh. Or some of these weird, odd conversations. And I'd say, can't make this shit up.
Yeah.
Ladies, can't make it up. This is what's happening. And I would show them pictures and conversations. And I'd say, I should just write a book. And then finally one day it clicked. I'm going to write a book about this.
Yeah.
Because this is funny, but it's also a lot of information.
Yeah.
And hopefully I do write it from a very humorous point, but I do want women and men, because I know it happens on their side, because some of the men did tell me what was going on their side.
Yeah.
And we compared notes. We need to be aware.
Yeah.
We need to be aware of those bots and just not report
engage.
Them.
Yeah.
Don't engage. And I would tell people, I'm reporting you.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, they would just like drop me fast. So I made sure I screenshot everything
before you tell them
I was going to report them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same with the scammers and the catfish.
Yeah.
You know, I just, because if you're like me and you get on the apps, and I really shouldn't have been on the apps at the point that I was in my divorce healing process. It was too soon. I did it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And I just would want other people to be aware of this, because if you are not ready and you're vulnerable and you don't see through it, it can just break your heart again and make you very bitter.
Great point.
You know, and that's the last thing in the world that we need. Or if it is a person and it's a real person and you have not healed from some of your past marital issues, some of the problems that maybe you or your spouse brought into the relationship, and you fall into those old patterns, because I talk about that in my chapter on two chapters, but the later chapter on Hank.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was falling into those old patterns. Now, had I done more healing work instead of scrolling through, then I wouldn't have fallen for that. But he was early on, and he did some love bombing.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't learned enough yet.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell the audience what love bombing is, just so they fully understand.
Okay, so love bombing, that starts out, those are the, hey, gorgeous, hey, baby, you're the most beautiful woman I have ever seen in my life. And your heart's just going, oh, until you figure out, oh, love bomb.
Yes.
I know your number, dude.
Yeah.
And then you can play with them a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I did my share of the guys that were, oh, gorgeous. Hey, baby, you know, back. Because I just wanted to see what they were going to give me at a certain point.
And their intent really is to kind of manipulate you at some point.
Is to manipulate you.
Yeah.
And they're going to tell you what you want to hear, or what they think that you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to move super fast.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to, within days or a week or 2 weeks, you're the love of my life.
Yeah.
You're my soulmate. Where have you been? I don't understand how anyone could ever let you go.
Oh, yeah.
You
I
know,
love
even
that
when you're
one.
newly divorced, you're kind of wanting to hear some of that.
You're vulnerable. You want
You're
to hear
so
that. It
vulnerable.
feeds you. And it's like they prey on that, though.
Oh, it
Right?
does.
Yeah.
They prey on it, and then that's when, after they've got you
Yeah.
know, well into their little web,
Yeah.
then they can start playing their games.
Yep. Exactly. And it's scary because I don't necessarily think that everybody that does that, I mean, I might be too much of a hopeless romantic where I do believe a little bit in love at first sight, or you can fall for somebody pretty quick where you're just like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. You're a little
Right.
blindsided, right? So it doesn't always necessarily mean it's a love bomb. I think hopefully we can start to tell the difference between somebody who's genuine. You know, I don't want to lump everybody together in that category, but quite often it is, unfortunately. And you should start to see it pretty quick after they do it, right? Like, it doesn't
Right.
last forever. It's like, because they don't have time to sit and love bomb you for weeks and months on
Absolutely.
end. It's going to be a very quick period of time and move on to the next one, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the thing that I find is, if you have somebody that does the hello, gorgeous, you can answer back, hello, my name is Marilee, and that's how I prefer for you to
Perfect.
address me until we know
Perfect.
each other.
Oh, I love
You
it.
know,
Yeah.
you can be very forward, because here's the thing. They don't know you.
Yep.
You owe them zero. And if they get offended or defensive about the fact that you are not okay with them calling you gorgeous and all these little pet names
Right.
until they can pronounce your name,
Right.
then left.
Left. I agree. That's a great way to weed them out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick. So you talked about scammers and catfishing. So what would be the difference there between scammers and catfishing, really?
Okay, so scammers tend to be just looking for data. They're trying to get data. They're trying to get information about you for whatever weird
I don't understand the
reason.
purpose, I guess, a lot of
Yeah,
times, you know?
Sometimes trying to get money from you.
Yeah,
trying
that's a
to
big one.
Get money. Now, catfishers can do that as well.
Yeah.
Catfishers are a little bit different in the fact that oftentimes they will try to get money, you know, send me money or want you to buy things for them.
Don't fall
But they
for it.
also tend to do the love bombing, try
Yeah.
to get you hooked. They're never going to want to get on a video chat with you.
Right. Yep.
They may not even want to get on a telephone call with
Yep.
you, because your scammer or your catfish could be somebody working a phone in a foreign country.
Yeah.
They could be someone, they could be a female. And if
Yep.
you're wanting heterosexual relationship, it could be a female. So they're not going to want to have
Yeah.
their voice heard. So those are big indicators, is
Yeah.
if they know they, or you set up a time to meet. Maybe they are a man and they're talking to you on the phone and they're, oh, I want to get together, I want to meet, and you're helping to pay for their trip. And
yeah.
Suddenly Aunt Carol died.
Oh,
And
they
I can't
can't
come.
come.
I can't meet you.
Yeah.
You know,
Such a
and
sad story.
so sad. Or transmission went out in my car, babe, and I can't get it fixed. Can you
Yes.
wire me, you know, $1,000 to fix my transmission?
Wow. And you're already so invested because they've done all this love bombing first. So you're, and they know they're preying, like, again, we said on the vulnerable ones. And so then you're suckered in there.
Yeah.
Right. And you're like, and you want to help, and you think they're really into you, and they're just not. They're just
and
not.
You can always tell. This always just baffled my brain. The scammers are usually their profiles. The scammers and bots, their profiles show that they are some high profile, high paying job.
Oh, yeah.
They're a neurosurgeon doing philanthropic work with the children in Africa.
Yeah.
And I'm far away from you, baby. But, you know, I had one guy talking to me from a foxhole in Afghanistan.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And yeah. I was like, oh, are you safe? I knew that it was just
that is
a scam job. But they always, they're these high paying six figure salaries. And what do you do for a living?
Right.
I'm thinking, okay, when you didn't read my bio again.
Yes.
But then I told them I did work as a service coordinator, which is kind of a little bit like a social worker.
Yeah.
So guess what? I don't make money.
And click.
Yeah. And well, no, what they would do is they would go, oh, that's a noble profession.
Oh.
And I know that they wouldn't understand what I was saying, but they're thinking, okay, I'll be able to get some money out of her.
Yeah. I'll be able to get a little bit more.
Because she's in a profession that's kind of a helping profession, big heart.
Yeah.
I just got to work my magic.
And the last one I wanted to ask about regarding the book was WhatsApp and Hangouts. These are other sites that they tend to want to get onto, but they are not, they're Wi-Fi related, right? So they're not going to show up. They're not going to be recorded. They're not going to be listed on a phone bill, anything like that. So tell us a little bit about that.
So they would always, within the first couple of exchanges, hey, can we get on WhatsApp? Hey, do you want to go to Hangouts? And I Googled why people want to get you off the dating apps onto WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
And if you Google that, it says because they're either a scammer trying to get money, they're trying to catfish you for money. There is no record.
Yeah.
When you're on the dating apps, there's a record and you can have those people removed. Now, that doesn't mean that in 5 minutes, they're not going to come up with another fake profile and use the exact same pictures. But this time they're going to call themselves, instead of being Pete, they're going to be John.
Yeah.
I had the same guy, three different names.
Oh my
you
God.
Know,
it's
same
exhausting.
Lines.
And, it's gotta be exhausting for them. What's the point?
I just imagine it's a big network of people.
Yeah.
Working, trying to get as much money.
And I bet I bet they do.
From women and men mm-hmm. who are just desperate for love and desperate for connection.
Yeah.
But so trying to get me on WhatsApp. And so crazy. I would always ask them, why can't we talk here? Oh, because I don't check here often.
Yes.
Well, check WhatsApp?
I know.
I don't check WhatsApp.
Yeah.
I used WhatsApp when my son was in Belgium and when he was in Australia. That way we didn't have to pay fees and we were able to talk that way.
Yeah, makes sense.
But let's stay on this app. Yeah. You know, there's a video function on here. We can do it on here.
Yeah.
We can talk on here, but they didn't want the record. They didn't want to be able to be traced.
Yep.
And if you're on WhatsApp, the record's gone. It's encrypted.
Absolutely. And I've had that happen actually many times where they say, hey, why don't we exchange numbers and we can text? And I think I'm going to be getting a regular text. And then they're like, hey, I messaged you on WhatsApp. And I'm always like, well, yeah, what's the point? I don't understand, you know, now we know because it's not on record. Cause I'm like, why wouldn't you just text on the phone number? It's just so disappointing is what it is to me. It's like, I just wish that, you know, we didn't have to go through all of this just to find somebody. And we're in this really weird spot because it's hard to meet people organically these days. We've talked about that, especially after COVID, you know, and
very
so
hard.
We're very limited to our options. And I'm sure that plays a part in it too. They know you're going to be coming to the dating apps. These dating apps are saturated with people looking for love. And so they're taking advantage of that. Just disappointing. Yes. But I would really implore everybody to pick up a copy of your book again called Right Swipe, A Quest for Love, because it has so much great information in it. And I got such a good laugh out of it. Many times I was like, oh, yes, that is exactly what happened to me. And I was like, it all makes sense now. So
makes
I'm
sense
so
now.
Glad.
The dots connect.
They connect. And it allows you to go in with some armor on, I guess, you know, and just be a little bit more prepared for whatever is going to come your way. And hopefully you can start to recognize it pretty quickly.
Yes.
That's really the key, right? So I want to move on from the book real quick because you've got a lot of stuff going on, which is awesome. And I love talking to love coaches and love specialists because it just feeds us really what we need to know in this day and age. But so a big portion of my podcast is, you know, helping women and men kind of reinvent themselves after divorce or whatever tragedy may have struck. And so I just try to kind of let them know it's okay to put themselves back out there and try new things and do stuff like that. So when do you think it's too soon to start dating again? Or when should somebody be looking to kind of work within themselves for a while? So like, how long should they work on themselves before they start putting themselves out there to find somebody? In your opinion, I mean,
that's a really hard question, because I really think that it depends upon the person.
Yeah. And I guess how the relationship ended or who ended the relationship, maybe that plays a part too.
And I think that you need to be very honest and open mm-hmm. with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my therapist had said 2 years, at least one.
Okay.
And because she knew that I was doing work on myself. My coach also said 2 years, but you know, you could have conversations. If you insist upon staying on the apps, have conversations, but don't do anything else. I don't know what's magical about 2 years.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, here's what I think is, if I go and I'm checking off on my calendar and I have it marked that, oh, you know, 2 years is 730 days, 720, day 729, nope.
Nope.
But day 730, here I'm I in. Am. You know, if you have done nothing to work on yourself, there's not a difference between day 17, day 729, day 730, day 1025.
Yeah. So that's the nail on the head. It's working on yourself during that time. What do you do during that time to get to the point that it's okay to start again?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's hard work.
Yeah.
And it's the hardest work that I've probably ever done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to college. Mm-hmm. I've done hard work, but the hardest work was working up on myself. And working on myself looked like being okay going out to a restaurant by myself.
Yes, huge.
Being okay going to the movies by myself, on vacation by myself.
Yeah.
Sitting home alone and being alone.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, Andrea, it is the loneliest feeling that a person can have is being alone in a marriage.
Absolutely.
And you get out of that. And a lot of times we want to just fill our days mm-hmm. with friends that we may not have been allowed to hang out with and mm-hmm. going and doing things and shopping. And we want to fill because mm-hmm. we don't want to feel alone by ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lonely place being alone, you know?
It can be, but it can be a very joyful, peaceful, amazing place.
Yeah.
And once you can get to the place where when you're alone in your space, when you're alone at that restaurant, enjoying the best meal you've had,
mm-hmm.
you're out at the movies, you're on a hike, you're on vacation, and you can say, I am having the best time of my life.
Yeah.
With the best company I have had in a very long time.
Yeah.
Then you are ready.
You're ready
to date.
And maybe that's kind of where, like you're saying, the 2 years comes into it. Maybe it's a time frame for you to really self-discover and find out where you are, where you're at peace with things and everything. And so then I think maybe there gets to a point where you don't want to go too far, because if you go too far and spend too much time alone, you start to become very comfortable in that setting, right? And you almost then don't need anybody, don't want anybody. And it makes it very difficult to bring somebody into your life because you're very set in your ways. So maybe that's a little bit of the timing in there. There's a certain amount of time to not let it get too far where you can't come back from it.
Right.
Just enough that you enjoy being alone, but you still want that companionship, you know, because I don't want to get to the point where I don't want it.
Right. But you might discover, and here's what I have found for myself. When I got to the point in being alone, doing my own thing, making plans with friends, and enjoying the life that I have, that's when the bar to have access to me rises.
Yes, ma'am.
And I am going to be very particular about who has access to me. And guess what? We are going to go on a coffee interview.
Mm-hmm.
And then we might go on a bowling interview.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do a lot of interviewing.
Yeah.
Because if you have not the person that I am spending some time with, going on a date with, if you have not put in your own personal work, I'm not going to help you do that work.
Yep.
That's on you.
That's right.
You come to this. I'm not telling you to be perfectly, you know, self-actualized.
Yes.
I just want you to have done some work, show that you have got some emotional intelligence and that you're emotionally available.
I love that. It's great. And you talk about, you know, you've talked about self-love and kind of how did you realize that for yourself? What kinds of things did you do to really get in that place?
Okay. The self-love piece came in four different women in my life telling me you need to learn to love yourself. First, my therapist, then my coach, then my mentor, Jennifer Grace, no relationship, not related. And then one of my author friends, she's a fellow baseball mom, and I met her when our kids were playing baseball, traveling around the country playing baseball together. And she was the only other mom there that was supporting the team. And I kept hearing her and struck up a conversation with her and learned that she was an author and she writes romance. She's a baseball romance author. So her books are really fun.
Yeah.
And I remember her, you know, and Jen Grace always would tell me, you got to learn to love yourself, hon. You got to learn to love yourself first. I was with Jen Sterling and she looked me in the eye and we were talking about something that had happened between her and her boyfriend's daughter. And her boyfriend's daughter had said to her, well, you love my dad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, yes, I love your dad, but I love me more.
Love that.
And I must have looked oddly at her. And she says, hun, you've got to learn how to love yourself. You've got to figure that out. And then I was like, I know. You're not the only person that's told me. I just don't know. And she, do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. And then she was, oh, and by the way, write the effing book.
And so I was like, I love it.
Okay.
I'm doing it.
Figure out the self-love thing. So the way it all happened then, I've got these four amazing women telling me, Marilee, self-love, self-love, self-love. Nobody told me the book, the manual.
Yeah.
I can study well. I can learn.
Yeah.
Give me the book. Give me the manual. Give me the instructions. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it.
Yeah.
But with self-love, it's something that you got to do on your own.
You do.
And it can be taught. Mm-hmm. I taught myself. Last year, after I'd collected all the data, I was too exhausted to write the book. That happened in October, not of 2023, but of 2022. And I knew I was going on a retreat to Costa Rica in December, but I couldn't write. I was just exhausted. And when I was getting ready to board that plane, I just thought to myself, no expectations for this trip. I'm just, my intention is to take whatever God, the universe, the jungle, the companionship, the community gives to me.
Yeah.
I get to Costa Rica. My friend, Jen, it was one of her retreats that she was putting on. She says, guess what? You get to be in a room by yourself. And it's actually little jungalow bungalows in the depths of the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, I don't want to be by myself.
Yeah.
I'm by myself every single day.
Yeah.
But I didn't say this. I was like, oh, yay.
Yeah. Right.
And it was the best thing.
Oh,
it was the absolute best thing.
Oh, amazing.
Because I could wake up in the morning and drink my coffee and I journaled and I cried and I wrestled with myself, you know, all these thoughts and I'm not being enough and I'm writing the book and should I write the book and what's the purpose of writing the book? And they tell me I need to learn to love myself, and I just don't know how to do that. And I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So I would go up into yoga class or lunch or whatever, and I would sit there and I would think, watch these women, learn from these women. And I would watch my friend Jen, mm-hmm. who loves herself. How does she behave? How does she treat herself?
Mm.
How does she treat others?
Yeah.
And I watched and I watched and I watched. And my takeaway was that when I came back to the States and I just started writing out dreams and goals, and this is what I want to do, and this is how I'm going to do it. And I started acting as if, acting as if a woman who loved herself.
Yeah.
How would a woman who loved herself do this? Well, number one, she'd stop looking in the mirror, making faces at herself, sticking her tongue out at herself, and telling herself that she was ugly.
Right.
So I stopped doing that. That was my one small thing. And I really think that when you do one small thing, and I did that consistently until I could look in the mirror and not have to remind myself, oh, don't stick your tongue out at yourself.
Mm.
And then I would take it one new small thing.
Yeah.
And eventually it got to the point where I'd look at myself in the mirror and I'd be going, damn, I'm looking pretty good today.
I love it.
My curls are.
Yeah, you are.
You know, and it was just falling in love with me. I took myself out on dates.
Yeah.
I spoiled myself. I buy myself a birthday present. I buy myself a Christmas present. Mm-hmm. I take myself out to dinner to celebrate the day that I left the marriage.
Yes.
I take myself out to dinner to celebrate the day that the divorce was final. I splurge on my favorite wine.
Yeah.
I pamper me. I treat myself like a woman that loves herself because I do.
What an experience.
And it was. And then I realized, as I'm talking to other women, just in conversation, because once your vibration changes and you start to glow, people are attracted to that.
Absolutely.
And when they see the change in you, they're like, ooh, what's going on with her?
I want to be a part of that.
I want to find out.
Yeah.
And I would just talk with them. And then I would listen to women talk about the heartbreak of their divorce. And I'd say, you need to learn self-love. I don't know how to do that. And I thought, okay, I need to write a class about this. And I need to work with women on how to learn to love themselves.
Yes.
Because when we leave a marriage, or when someone leaves us, I left the marriage, and I know some people are left.
Yeah.
Even though I left, I still had to grieve the loss of what I'd never had.
Right.
The loss of what I thought that I was marrying.
Yeah.
And the reality of what I did. And I had to learn to nurture me and care for me. And I thought, I can teach other women to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a simple process. And I'm sure your listeners are going, well, that's easy. It's a simple process, but it's hard work.
Yeah. And it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, right? Yeah,
it is. Yeah. And there are times I'm not perfect. I still will have that little itty bitty shitty committee in my head going, what makes you think, you know, or something will happen. And that memory comes back and you go, oh, and then I just go back to my little toolkit. What do I know works for me?
Yes.
And I sit down, and for me, it's writing.
Yeah.
And the other day I had a trigger, two triggers, and I journaled for 2 hours. Merely, I don't have 2 hours to journal.
Yeah.
You're important enough to journal for 2 hours. You will figure out a way to do it.
Absolutely.
And even if it's in little snippets throughout your day, or if it's at bedtime, and you have to get it out.
Yeah. It is.
And
it's
therapeutic.
How you heal.
Because it's just like if you have a cut and that infection, and your skin heals around that infection has got to get out.
Yeah.
And it might come out a little bit at a time. And it initially is going to come out a big.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you work on it.
You work on it.
You work on it when it comes up.
Wow. I love that. I love everything that you just said. And I think that's the biggest thing that we need to remember is the self-love. It's not easy, like you said, but once you start getting into it and it just feels so good, it's like, you know, why not try it? What do you got to lose? Right. Why not try it? So where are you at now in your life, relationship-wise? Are you still pursuing online dating, or are you doing any of that, or where are you at? If you don't mind
right now, I'm dating my very best friend, me, myself, and I.
I love it.
And when I go in for a date night and people ask me, are you here with somebody? I'm like, yeah, my best friend, me, myself, and I. And I get odd looks. I'm like, hey, I'm rocking it. You know, there's yes. that lady that gets dressed up and comes in to eat this fancy dinner all by herself. I love it. I am not on the dating apps.
Okay. Would you get back on them?
Will I ever get back on them? I have learned to never say never, because whenever I say never, God has a sense of humor and makes me take that back and I do something. So if I got on the dating apps now, it would be a very, very different look.
Yeah.
I would probably pay for the premium package.
Yeah.
And I would be very careful about who has access to me.
Yeah.
What I have thought about doing, which is just a kind of little sideways dating app, maybe kind of sort of thing to do. I've been researching matchmakers.
Okay. I have too. Go ahead. I love it.
They do all the work for you.
Yes, they do.
I don't want to be attached to my phone scrolling and having to right swipe, left swipe. If I tell a matchmaker, this is who I am, and you have to be totally authentic with them.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm paying them $2,000, $3,000.
Not cheap. It's not cheap.
Anne is paying $2,000 or $3,000. I'm not going to get scammers, catfishes, or bots.
Yep. Invest
in
yourself.
I'm probably going to get a pretty solid person.
Yeah. Yeah. I do know a woman that actually did that. She did the matchmaking, and like I said, it's not cheap, and depending on where you go, you know, but again, it's investing in yourself, and how much do you want to find that quality person that could be your life partner. But there's a lot of really cool ones out there, and I have been kind of looking at that as well. And also another thing just to put out there is I've been looking at getting on the roster to meet somebody, not necessarily that I'm looking to match, but I might be a match for somebody out there, and that you actually don't have to pay for to be on somebody's roster. Right. So that's kind of a cool route you can go as well.
And I just happened across that upon that, and I'm not for sure how, but I thought, a matchmaker, order bright.
There's the misconceptions again, right?
And then I started doing a little bit of research on it and saw that, you know, the price range, it can be reasonable and it can be
unreasonable.
5 and 6 figures.
Yeah.
Which is not me.
Yep.
And would never be me. I love me, but six figures for
For a man.
For a man. You said it before I did. I was waiting for you.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm worth it. They're not.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes about the type of relationship that I would want, because I'm not for sure that I would ever get into a marriage again.
Yeah.
I have some very strong opinions.
Never say never, right?
Yeah, don't ever say never.
Never
I might.
Never.
I have some very strong opinions about marriage and what that means. I have a really hard time with the legality of it, just because having gone through a divorce, and I remember saying to my lawyer, this isn't fair. And she says, it's not about what's fair. It's about what's case law.
Yep.
And what's been done in the past.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I ever want to give myself the opportunity to be in some sort of a situation that might have to go through a divorce again.
Interesting. Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
I do think about it.
Yeah.
When I want to give some bandwidth to it.
Yeah.
But that's not often.
Yeah.
But every now and then when I see couples, and I've gotten really good at listening to my gut.
Yeah.
And I can usually pick out couples that there's issues there. I work part-time in the evenings. I pour wine.
Oh.
At a winery.
Oh.
And I see couples that playing the game, going through the ropes, and I'm thinking, oh, wow.
Yeah. But how cool to be able to recognize that, though. That's growth in itself, right?
Yeah. Just because I you pick up on conversations, you pick up on body language. I can usually pick it up from the women more than the men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, I can pick out the women that are like me.
Yeah.
That were in relationships like mine and go, oh, I get it. I get it, hon.
Yep.
But then I have couples that are truly madly in love.
Yeah.
Have married their best friend.
Yeah.
Can't imagine life without them. And I think, oh, there is hope.
There is hope.
Or luck.
Yeah. One or the other.
I haven't figured out which. It's one or the other, maybe a combo of
both. It's both really good. I love it. But what about, you were telling me earlier about different classes and stuff that you do. You know, you have a divorce thriver and life thriver writer circles that you're kind of doing in different classes. So tell the audience a little bit about that and where they can find you for things like that.
Okay. So with all of this transformation that I did, I rebranded my business and I am Right Swipe Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I am the Right Swipe Girl. So I do life transformation coaching. I can do one-on-one. I do rather enjoy doing group coaching though, because I think there's a synergy in group coaching. It can be done online through Zoom. And I offer two different classes right now. One is called Unleashing Self-Love, and it's my 4-week class.
Mm-hmm.
And I take you through steps on learning self-love. And I think that there are four main components, essential selves, that contribute to self-love. And they have to be in balance in order for you to authentically love yourself. And it's self-care, self-maintenance, self-discovery, and self-indulgences. So we each week we cover one of those, and you have homework and you check in with a soul work partner. And I call it soul work, not homework.
Yep.
Because homework is boring and soul work is nourishing.
Oh, I love that.
So that's my one class. I also have Clarity Catalyst. I went through that coursework with my friend Jennifer Grace. That's how I became acquainted with her, and she became my mentor. I took her class and then I became certified to facilitate the class, and it's called Clarity Catalyst. And it helps people to kind of get a grasp of their irrational beliefs and their irrational thoughts and how to take action so that those don't control them.
Yeah.
It's based on a Stanford course that was the top course back in, I believe it was the 70s. It was a master's level, master's of business level program, and it was well sought after. And so Jen helped to make it into something for the common person.
Oh, I like it.
That way, these business students were coming back years later going, I'm not fulfilled. I've got this 6-figure job and I hate my life. And so the professor developed this course, and then it's been developed out to go into regular community and be done in person or online, and help people, men and women, to really look at what their purpose and how to live a fulfilled life. And it's not exactly what you would think. It's not cars and money and hot women.
Although
those can be fun too. And then thing that I'm most passionate about is, I've been in a writing circle, not a writing group. I've been in that too. Writing groups are for authors, and you share what you're working on. A writing circle is more of a healing circle where you use your writing to help you heal. And I specifically have developed two different ones. One is for people who are either in the stages of divorce or have gone through a divorce. And what we do is we meet together, 6 sessions over 11 weeks, because we take a week off to let everything sink in and to do some introspection work. And we meet for 2 hours online and we write.
Oh,
and I give prompts. I might read a poem and ask you what sticks out to you. Now write about that. And the way your subconscious, when you just allow the pen to flow on the paper, things come out.
Interesting.
And we write and we share and we listen to each other. And that's one important component. The two important components is that you write and you just let whatever flows out without judgment.
Yeah.
And then you read it aloud to another human being, and that person just listens.
They're not critiquing it. They're not doing it. They're just
not
listening.
Not critiquing, mm-hmm. not telling you, you know, you used the wrong there. Mm-hmm. Or you would have been better if you would have said, they just listen awesome. And thank you for sharing.
Oh, nice.
And so it's amazing. Oh, wow. It's amazing what is done. At first, people are awkward, and we do it without being seen. Mm-hmm. So nobody has their camera on.
Oh, great.
So that way, when you're reading, if you're touching somebody and they start to get emotional,
yeah,
and maybe they cry or maybe they bury their head,
yeah,
you're not thinking, oh my gosh, I've hurt their feelings. Oh yes. My gosh, I triggered something. What's wrong with them? You're just reading,
yeah,
and you're listening.
Great
and
point.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is something that my listeners can join. They can join like a writer's circle.
Absolutely.
Like this.
Yes.
Oh, very
yes.
Cool.
I'm going to give you the link for the writer's circle, the divorce thrivers. And mm-hmm. I say thrivers because mm-hmm. we don't want to just be a survivor of divorce.
Yes.
We want to thrive after divorce.
I love it.
So it's Divorce Thrivers Writing Circles. And I'll give you the link. And I do have a special price. I'm taking $100 off of the price specifically for podcast listeners.
Amazing.
And if you go to my website, you won't see Divorce Thrivers Writing Circles available to the general population just yet, because I'm wanting it to be to the podcast listeners when I'm a guest and I'm talking.
Yeah.
Because those are the people that are listening.
Yeah.
Those are the people that are searching and seeking, mm-hmm. and those are the people that are ready.
Amazing. We're going to have all that information listed in the description, yes. of the podcast, and then we'll give your handles and stuff at the end. I love all of this information, Marilee. It's just been wonderful. And I have a little fun game to play with you before we finish up. I'd like to do what I call Mrs. to Ms. Fun Facts. It's just a this or that. I'm just going to throw out two things for you. It's kind of relationship related. It could be about, you know, dating, marriage, sex, whatever it might be, and maybe throw you off a little bit, you know, and you just answer whichever one comes to mind first.
Okay. I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous. Ooh. Don't be nervous. It's easy. It's fun. Okay. Number one, exciting adventures or a comfortable, stable routine?
Exciting adventures.
Yes. Open and honest communication or surprise gestures to express love?
Open and honest. 100%.
100%. I'm one with you. Here's a good one. A one-night stand with someone you've crushed on, or a relationship with someone you're just feeling okay about?
Okay. Mike or Hank?
Yeah.
Mike or Hank? If you read the book, you'll understand.
You'll
it's got to be Hank. It's
gotta
the second one.
Relationship. Yes, absolutely. And hopefully it doesn't turn into a situationship. But
yeah, not a situationship.
No. Number four, future plans or present moments?
Present moment.
Number five, quality gifts or thoughtful gestures?
Thoughtful gestures.
Okay. Number six, sex in front of your parents or sex never again?
Oh my God.
I told you I was going to throw a zinger at you.
My dad did read the book, so.
Okay. So you could have sex in front
but
of your parents.
But no. Sex
never again.
Not in front of my parents, no.
Can you imagine? I can't even imagine.
That's ick.
That's a terrible question. Why'd I come up with that one? Okay, now this one, I don't know if you used either. Bumble or Hinge?
Bumble, because I couldn't figure out Hinge.
Oh.
I had it, but I could not figure out how to use the app, so I have no data from Hinge, but
so
I have
going with
data.
Bumble.
Some of my data is from Bumble.
All right, I like that. Number eight, spontaneous or planned intimacy? Go into his house after or doing it right at the coffee store.
Spontaneous with a little bit of planning.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. We're almost done here. Number nine, intimacy in the morning or at night before bed?
Morning.
Number 10, his place or yours? That was a mic joke.
Oh my gosh. Neither.
If
it's meant to be coffee, it's meant to be coffee.
Yes.
Now I'd be more comfortable in my place.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
I think so too.
Not after one coffee date.
That's awesome. Those are great answers. Thanks for playing along on that one. Just trying to throw a couple zingers your way. So thank you so much for coming on today. I really love this information. Like I said, your book, Right Swipe, A Quest for Love. Where can they find that?
That is available on Amazon.
Okay.
I do have a special ebook pricing right now. I've dropped it to 99 cents for the listeners. So all you have to do is go to Amazon.com. Yeah. If you are I've got to have it because I like the smell of books and I like to turn pages, which is me, or you like to be able to go back and did I read that right? Oh my gosh. He did say that to her, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Then the book is on there. It's $14.99. But if you like the ebook option, 99 cents. Look for the audio book. I've had my friend saying, Marilee, when I read the book, I hear your voice.
Make it into
an audio book.
I
am teaching myself how to do an audio book and we'll see how that happens. How that works.
I really suggest everybody grabs, especially if they only have, everybody has a dollar sitting around that they can go and grab at least the ebook. Cause there's so much pertinent information, especially if you are doing the online dating right now, just, you know, to give you the extra little information armor you need going in. So I would absolutely suggest to get that. So thank you again, once for being on. I loved having you, and you can find me on info@frommrs2ms.net. If you have any questions or you'd like me to reach back out to Marilee and ask her, I'm also going to have her information on my socials and everywhere for you. So thank you once again for joining us, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Have a great one. Bye.